Mark chapter 10. We've been talking about the hard sayings of Jesus. And this one, in a way, it's a little comical, but overall sad. In the 10th chapter here. It's really an experience that Jesus is dealing one-on-one. And I think the outcome is going to be a whole lot different than it was with Nicodemus. So let's look at Mark chapter 10, and let's go down to verse 24. And we'll kind of be looking at the other verses as we go along. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter in the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God." The experience that we have with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Jesus explained to him what it meant to be born again. And you've got to imagine all of these sayings and all these new things of Jesus are really spreading around. Whenever something is new like this and something that they've not heard of, it begins to spread. And things begin to go around and around and around. And people become curious. They either, you know, or get their backs up and they don't like it and they're angry with it. Or they're very curious and they want more. And they don't understand, but they want more about what they've heard. You think about this saying. Does a camel have a better chance to get into heaven than you do? You think about that. A camel through the eye of a needle. In one sense of the imagination, it's kind of comical to think. And a lot of people, you know, in their mind, they think there's a gate called the camel's gate, but there isn't. It's actually, he's talking about a sewing needle. So every one of us at this point, at some time in our life, we've sewn. Can you imagine taking that sewing needle, even if it's a tent needle, which would be a lot bigger, and shoving a camel through that needle? That's impossible. And so the instance we have this morning, to me, is a very sad one. To me, it's a very hard saying because we have a young man who's going to come to Jesus, who is so willing, he's there. And the sad thing is, maybe you have, I know I've experienced where I've shared Jesus Christ with someone, and they were so close. So close. And then they say, "Not today, preacher. Not today. I don't have time. I think I'll wait." And it's so sad to think about how many times somebody has waited too long. And they go into eternity without Jesus. The hard saying, too, in part B to this, not only about the camel, but everybody who's listening, they're saying in verse 26, they're saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved? Who can be saved? If a camel going through an eye of a needle has more chance of that happening than salvation, who in the world can be saved?" He talks about faith. He talks about trust. He talks about the children earlier in this passage. And he's thinking about how you have to, in an innocent, trusting, believing, without questioning way, accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You think about man's inability to save themselves. You know, that's something we need to be reminded of often. Man cannot save themselves. They like to believe they can. They like to think they can. They like to think they're good enough. They like to think they're rich enough. They like to think they're this and that. And so in comes the young, rich young ruler who is everything that you would imagine that a young ruler with a lot of money, I'm sure he's inherited through his family, lots of possessions. Let's look at him for a second. He is obviously influential because they call him the rich young ruler. So apparently he's a ruler or he's over something. This is a bright, young man in his prime of life, if you think about it. I imagine in my mind he's probably between 26 and 36, somewhere in that age. And Luke tells us in 18:18, and a certain ruler asked him. Matthew tells us, one came unto him. The young man was very frank. He was very sincere. He was searching and he was seeking. Honestly, I believe with all my heart, he was searching for something. He knew there was something missing in his life. He knew there was something that he needed. He knew that there was an empty hole in him somewhere. And it wasn't being filled with the Jewish faith. It wasn't being filled with the stuff. It wasn't being filled with his riches. It wasn't being filled with his fame. It wasn't being filled with his, titles. It just wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. He was not content. I see people all the time who are just not content with life and they don't know why. They don't know why. You can only chase so many brass rings. You can only accumulate so much stuff. And then you realize that stuff, that those brass rings and this fame and this fortune or whatever it is the world throws at us, just is not enough. So I imagine he hears about Jesus. And when Karen and I were talking about this morning, the word of mouth travels rather quickly. They didn't have phones or text messages, or they didn't have radio, they didn't have television. But word travels. And I would imagine as Jesus is traveling with this huge crowd with him, that would get everybody's attention. And so this rich young ruler, this young man, has heard something that has caused him to want to seek out Jesus. He approaches Jesus, 17. He came running and kneeled down to him. He knew where Jesus was. Jesus came to an area that was close enough that he could get there without any trouble. And he was so driven, it says that he came to Jesus running and he kneels down. He had this burning desire, this burning need to speak to Jesus. You think about how many times we've heard people, when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with their heart, begins to talk to them, they can't rest, they can't find peace, they're miserable and they're unsettled. And I think this is what's happening to this young man. His heart is the Lord is dealing with his heart, and it's in something that he just does not understand. It's something he has never felt before. He's never been compelled like this to do anything. He's scared, nervous, miserable, unsettled, curious. He's all of these things. Master. He does recognize the authority of Jesus when he says master. He recognizes that he's a teacher. He recognizes that he's a rabbi. But the thing that he doesn't understand, he doesn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. He's a good teacher. Like Nicodemus knew that Jesus was a good teacher, that it must have come from God. This young man knew that Jesus was a good teacher who must have come from God. But the idea of the Messiah, he doesn't take that step. He doesn't take that leap. I know a lot of people have head knowledge of Jesus, but that's all. They know about him. They've heard of him. They've heard things about him. But their head knowledge is all they have. There's no heart knowledge. There's not giving their heart to Jesus. And until we do that, all it becomes is just head knowledge. Head knowledge has never saved anybody. Accepting Jesus Christ, giving our heart to the Lord, is what has to be done. I think about this young man, and I'm sure there's somebody in your life that you can think of that is just like him. They come, they're curious, they want to know something, they want something bigger than themselves, they want to be part of something, but they just don't know what it is. What's the real reason why he came? What's the real reason? What lack I yet? One thing thou lackest. His question, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He understands the inheritance. I'm sure he inherited all his wealth. I'm sure he inherited all his lands and his livestock. He understands inheritance. But what do I need to inherit eternal life? Is it in my hands? Tell me, Jesus, there's something I can do to be saved with the workings of my own hands. What can I do? What hoops do I need to jump through in order to know salvation, have eternal life? But you got to remember, too, the Jews, in their mind, as long as they were a descendant of Abraham, that was all they needed. That was good enough. It doesn't matter how ornery they were. It doesn't matter what kind of experience they were living in or what they were doing. As long as they were a child of Abraham, in their mind, they were good. But that's not true. What can I do? You can't do anything. You have to believe. And you think about that, this whole pharmaceutical idea about the law. And if Abraham can't save me, then the law will save me. Or the two together will save me, which is not true. The law can't save anybody. Abraham cannot save anybody. The law was nothing more than a tool to show us what sin is all about. And to show us our shortcomings. And show us just how magnificent God is. What about deeds? What one great deed can I do in life that is worthy of receiving eternal life? What one great deed can I do, Jesus, that'll make me inherit eternal life? Just tell me. You tell me what I need to do, then I'll do it. Bless his heart. That's not true. He doesn't. But I think he means it in his heart. It's not by works, so no man can boast. It is not of us at all. It is of God, and it's of God by himself and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. Think about his question. Let's consider that question again. Did the young man come for only affirmation? Did he come to Jesus and when Jesus talked about, you know, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you obeyed this law? Have you obeyed that law? On and on and on. Well, you know, that's within my own grasp. Am I good enough? Give me affirmation, Jesus. Tell me I'm a good old boy and I've done just wonderful things and I'm just a good guy. There's a lot of good guys that are going to hell, right? There's a lot of good guys and good ladies who end up in hell. Being good is not it. You can't be good enough. What's he searching for? It must be in his control. He is thinking in his mind. You go back and reread that this afternoon. He's thinking in his mind that he honestly could do something in order to be saved. He thinks it's something within his ability and his grasp, and it's not. Thou knowest the commandments. He was looking for deeds, so Jesus gives him a deed. That is such a twist. He comes looking to Jesus for affirmation, or for, well, what can I do except, you know, have eternal life? What can I do? Give me a deed, give me an action, give me a mission, give me something that I can do that I can inherit eternal life. So Jesus says, all right, you're looking for a deed. I'm going to give you a deed. I'm going to give you action. You want action, I'm going to give you an action that you have to do in order to know salvation. I've never committed adultery. I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen. I've never defrauded anybody. I've done all these for my youth. Jesus doesn't debate him in that passage. He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't say, well, prove it to me. He doesn't say, let's have some evidence. You know, the Bible's full of all do's and don'ts, but only one way for salvation. All the things you'll notice that govern God and worshiping God and following God are not part of this conversation. Especially the one that says, have no other what? Gods before me. One thing you lack. One thing you lack, young man. And I'm sure he's thinking to himself, he's having this conversation with Jesus, and so he's wanting Jesus to tell him, what can I do? What can I do? Tell me what I can physically do. And Jesus says, well, you only lack one thing. And I'm sure his interest is perked now. He's thinking, all right, I'll be able to get inherit eternal life. I'll be able to get saved. Step one, young man, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast. How many believe that his heart just sunk? He just sunk. He just, all right, you're asking me to do something, or I'm asking you, give me something to do, you give me this to do. I can't do that. Jesus says, all right, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Give to the poor, then take up your cross and follow me. If you do these things, if you'll do this, you will have treasures in heaven. He was willing in his heart or his mind to do anything to be saved. But apparently he wasn't. Apparently what he was asked to do was too big of a task. He had a lot of things. He had a lot of wealth. Had no other gods before me. Well, we already know what his God was. Here was a deed that Jesus gave him that he could not or would not do. It wasn't the act of selling that would you know, if he sold all his stuff off, he wouldn't magically become a Christian. But his heart would change because if he's been willing to do so, and because of the faith that he's trusting in Jesus, that when he did all these things, you could see that his faith would have grown. And in this experience, he would accept Jesus Christ as the Savior. But he couldn't even begin the process. He couldn't begin the process. It was too much to ask. I can't give it away. I have too much. You know, what if Jesus would have said, you know, climb the highest mountain? Or what if Jesus would have said, go to the depths of the, you know, the deepest sea? Or, you know, whatever. Would he have done it? Maybe. But Jesus is asking him to do something that he can physically do. But he can't. Because that is his little God. It's taking the place of God, our God. It was too strong. It was too strong. It had too big of a grip on him. But true obedience is an inward and a spiritual thing. Selling of his stuff and giving it away would just be an external event to what's happened to him internally. For him to have said, okay, I will do it because I believe in you, Jesus, and I want you as my Lord and Savior. That would have been the act. He's obeyed, he thought, in every way. He thought that he has obeyed everything that God has asked him to do except for the one, have no other gods before me. We're often so guilty of choosing so many things before God. What are they? They don't have to be big, huge things. But sometimes there's things that we put before God. I'm so amazed at what people are willing to do to trade their relationship with Jesus for. For what? Self? Junk? Things? We looked at Nicodemus. And I shared with you that I believe with all my heart because of him and Joseph of Arimathea went and got the body of Jesus. And asked for it in order to prepare the body. I believe Nicodemus accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior because he had such an interest in Jesus, as we see at the end. I don't think this rich young ruler walked away with his head hung, shoulders slumped, because he could not and would not do what needed to be done. Jesus has the warning. Riches versus the kingdom of God. Jesus pushes the point just a little bit further. It is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He's not saying if a person is rich, they won't get there. But what he is saying is, if that is your God, you're not getting in. Your car may be your God. Your house may be your God. Your family may be your God. Your job may be your God. Whatever it is, if it's interfering, a camel can go through an eye of a needle easier than a person can get into heaven when everything else is keeping us from accepting Jesus Christ. You think about it, a self-righteous person, an unforgiving person, what have we made into little gods? And they start out as just little gods, and then they just grow until they consume us. This young man, I think, is a perfect example of how wealth or something, it could have been anything, but in his case, it was stuff and money. But it grew to the point he did not accept Jesus Christ. I don't believe he may have later in life. I can't say he did or he didn't because I don't know. But I get the impression when he walked away, that was it. He never looked back. How do we inherit eternal life? It's impossible for man to do it. And so those who are listening to him, they say, well, then who can be saved? Who can be saved? Jesus says, with man it's impossible. With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. How can you get saved by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Being washed in the blood of Jesus. We have forsaken all to follow you. Man will try over and over again. We'll continue to try anything and everything but the right thing. Even as Christians, we want to be in control and not let God be in control. Even with this young ruler, he wanted to be saved, But he had to be saved with his own conditions. He wanted to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior in his own way, in his own means, and whatever was possible, that it would be him that did it. But man can't do it. Only God can do it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We think about this young man and Father, how sad it is that he walked away not knowing Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Father, how sad it is that there's millions and millions of people around this world that have no idea who Jesus is, and they don't, and it seems like they're so involved in everything that they don't care. But we as Christians need to be burdened to try to reach these people, all people, for Jesus. Give us that burden of wanting to see others get saved. Father, you know who's listening. You know who is part of our service. This morning we pray that if there's anyone that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they'll not be like this rich young ruler and walk away, but they'll accept Jesus Christ. And that Jesus will be their Lord and Savior. Father, we just ask that your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Nope, he did not.